thank you, listeners, for joining us for yet another Power of the Question episode.
What?
You know, the power of suggestion. And we're off to a good, smooth, not rocky start. We received a bunch of questions from you on Discord, and we have some cool call-ins. Shall we go around the table and let people know who we are and who we are in the game?
Yeah, sure. I'm Brittany Leonage. I play NPCs such as Sildar Hallwinter and Karen Bonezerker. Is that all?
You also play Maris's, or Rose's.
And you play, Rose's creepy shadow sister.
For example, yes. I also play Rose's sister. Sister, I'm doing air quotes.
That's helpful.
Yeah. Yes. Shadowfell sister.
Hi, I am Jen Vaughn. I've played Riot Bonezerker, who's on the mega quest to find all of her siblings. And guess what? Done did it.
Applause.
Yeah. But only with the help of several people and several. Yes. Yep. Several. Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited to answer these questions.
I'm Jess Rosh, she, they. I play Lariya, Earth Genasi Druid, who sure is here still and hasn't left everyone behind.
I'm Maris Mullaly, she, her, and I play Rose Lau, who's a human monk currently stuck in the Shadowfell and in great despair. So much despair.
And hi, I'm Kat Kruger, the Dungeon Master here at D20 Dames, sadly I've put Rose in despair and put all these obstacles in front of everyone.
I mean, it was my low roll that I think set me into despair.
Yes.
Oh, you have not only put Rose in despair. I feel like it's fair to say.
Mm-hmm. I spread both the despair and the joy fairly mm-hmm. evenly.
It's like a sweet and a savory on a piece of bread. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. All right, well, I think we're going to answer some questions from our listeners.
All right, this question is from Feverwood on Discord. Actually, this is a three-part question. First, what cheese do we all like? Is that different from what our characters like? Actually, let's start there. Let's just start with that duo, and then I'll ask the third part.
I can go first.
So for Maris, I think manchegos are some of my favorite cheeses. Mm. I like those kind of hard cheeses. I like most cheeses, but I like those. Given that Rose is so much me, I think she probably also likes manchego cheese and the like. But I also see her eating a lot of like more kind of like cheddar-y cheeses. For mm-hmm. some reason, Phandalin seems like it. It would have a lot of like cheddars, especially, and also like Amphel with all the cows.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, the cheese that Jen likes is whatever is closest, and she's allowed to have. So,
no, pick one.
Okay. It's gonna be like those port wine cheese balls with nuts all over them that you find in like the open fancy case, but they're not that really fancy. You know, they're like spreadable cheeses for crackers.
I can't wait till those I get are to so go. Good. Oh, this will be very funny. Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Jen. Keep going.
Wait, what? What?
I was going to, so I'll just say now, I was going to say literally that exact thing, same thing, is Sildar's favorite. Yeah.
I mean,
and it delights me that Sildar's favorite cheese is Jen's favorite
cheese. It makes sense. I'm sure Sildar also appreciates that, that kind that comes in like the plastic cup. The Wisconsin or state, you know, something, but like the kind you can yes. only buy via mm-hmm. a kid's like holiday paper shopping, yeah, like catalog.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh man.
Yeah, so right, I'm gonna continue, say Jen. Yeah, no, I think Riot's is probably pretty much the same. It's like whatever she can find. But I will say I've been experimenting with a lot of non-dairy cheeses, like nut cheese and stuff, and like, you know, just call it cheese and I'm there. So
yeah, all cheese feels
oh my gosh,
the most right. But I do have one.
Oh my gosh.
You're so sad that we like notes. Cheese.
I'm taking notes.
I think rosemary Asiago is my favorite. For Lariah, I don't know if I could pick one cheese, because just like for Lariah's character, I feel like what her favorite cheese would be would be something that like she found one day when her dads were like making a cheese platter for like a small get together, and she grabbed some cheese off the plate. And then her dads refused to tell her what kind of cheese it was, and used that as a way to like bring her back all the time. How, like, as a child, convinced her that it was some sort of like really rare special treat, so she wouldn't like eat it all every time she found it. And then when she grew up, realized like that's not true. Like they probably get it at like the farmer's market or whatever, but sort of goes along with it because they use it as a way to be like, oh, you can only get that cheese you like here at right. home. I guess you'll have to come visit.
So trick cheese?
Yeah.
So emotional trickery cheese. Okay.
Yeah. I was going to propose that Lariah's favorite cheese was Roquefort because it almost is rock. But yeah, anyway.
Sure, well, it's that. And Lariah just doesn't know.
Yeah. What it's
called. Okay, now I feel like Riot's favorite cheese is clearly ones that are cured inside the hollow parts of bones, okay? forget a real rind. A bone rind is what a bone zerker would eat.
That sounds good. Marrow cheese? Yeah. Heck yeah.
Brittany, are you going to pick one for yourself and Sildar?
Yeah, let me just go through all my characters.
Yeah. I know. No, I'll do that next. This is the whole Q&A. Is just me answering.
Get your spreadsheet out.
Yeah.
My personal favorite cheese, I go between goat cheese and like a really sharp cheddar, but I'm like on a goat cheese kind of bender right now. So I'll pick goat cheese. Sildar is definitely that like port wine nut rolled like party cheese. And Karen, I think thematically because I was thinking like a hard cheese that she could just like put in her pocket and like weeks later just pull it out and be like, yep, still there, still good. And so also Karen looks up to Rose very much. So I would imagine at some point in the monastery, Rose introduced Karen to Manchego, and that's her like sophisticated answer to what her favorite cheese is, even though she's just like, I don't know, the hard stuff, the kind of rock cheese. I like rock cheese.
Parmigiano Reggiano. Yeah.
Yeah. Just the rind for me.
Oh, gosh. Oh, I like a square tooth mark as opposed to a curve.
Oh man. Kat, let's start with Phandalin NPCs. We can move to halfway. Then we can do monastery. Then we can go to.
Oh my gosh!
Let's start with you, Kat. What is your favorite
answer
cheese?
for me? It's either Brie or Wensleydale. It depends. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I really like Brie, like that soft cheese. But yeah. Wensleydale is also like, it's basically like cheesecake.
I don't know Wensleydale.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Frantically Googling.
This is Canadian wizardry.
No, it's from the UK. It's they usually have a lot of fruit in it. One of my favorite ones has like cranberry. It's like, it's basically like having like a cranberry festive cheesecake slice. It's really good.
Wow. All right, I'm keeping my eyes peeled next time I go to the market.
I'm glad that I know about this now. I have to tell you, Kat, I feel a little bit upset about how long I've known you, and this is the first time hearing about Wensleydale.
She's like, oh, it's just my favorite, but I'll never bring it to anything. Remember when we made that cheese plate?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember a couple of times when we all got together and brought cheese.
And she was like, not for my friends. It's too good.
Yeah.
I did mention that brie is the is my first choice, so I was always bringing the brie.
That does explain something.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how I feel about this cat.
Betrayal.
Oh, cheese betrayal.
So while we're talking about cheese betrayals, you guys ready for the third part of this question? I think we can maybe answer this as a group.
Okay.
What cheese do we think would stop a dragon?
No cheese?
Possibly.
I mean, maybe it would be so interested in Wensleydale that would do it.
Yeah, this conversation would probably stop a dragon.
Right.
Yeah, we could put it to sleep if it wasn't into cheese. I actually have a real answer for it. Or not a real, because dragons are real. There's a cheese, and I don't even know if you can get it anymore, because I think this... But I should have mentioned it before, but please don't get mad, Jess. But
we'll see.
Yeah. Oka? It's a mm-hmm. cheese made by Canadian monks, and I've had it several times, and, like, it's so good. It's sort of like... I don't know if it's like... What's in between hard and soft? Semi-soft, thank you. Yeah. So I think that cheese, I think, because, like, you know, anything that has, like, a story behind it, I think a dragon would totally be into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think they're from Quebec. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
All right. Any other cheese betrayals I need to know about? Now's the time to get them out.
Just put them out on all in the cheese board now. Yeah.
Yeah. Secret cheeses from all the states that we're from. Anyone?
Mm-hmm. I'll say halloumi in case no one has tried it. Yeah. I do love halloumi.
So good.
Yeah. Grill it, yes.
Yeah, any cheese that you can just put straight over an open fire and it's fine. Mm-hmm. That sounds great.
Yep,
that is feta, what a dragon
also,
would like.
Big fan of feta. Feta doesn't get.
Oh yeah, know, I do love feta.
Feta is so good.
Man. Yeah, feta is basically I eat Greek salads as a venue for feta.
I made a Greek salad recently where I did that thing where you just take a slice of feta, whole hunk, and just put it on top of the salad.
It's the only way to do it.
It's so, like, just a feta steak. Oh my
gosh. Oh my gosh, yeah.
What's the one, what's that Greek one that they set on fire?
Saganaki.
Oh, yes. That one. So good.
I have attempted and not fully created a oat milk paneer. Because paneer actually, it only takes like 30 minutes and then 30 minutes to set. Like, I was reading up online. So, but I was trying to make one without dairy. And I think it was my measurements were a little off with like the other things that go in it. But yeah, it seems pretty easy. So, you know, if you're looking for something to do while you're listening to our podcast, it's not cleaning.
Make some cheese.
Make some paneer at home. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that'll do it for our exclusive cheese Q&A. We'll come back with the rest of the Q&A, but we're going to have to wrap it there.
Next year.
Yeah, next year we'll talk to you.
Yeah, that's, sorry.
Your last Q&A was a lot of bread talk. This one, a lot of cheese talk. Mm-hmm. We'll see about next year. Any other cheese thoughts before we move on?
I will let you know, Jess, I think I mentioned this in one of the recordings before you actually joined us, but there is a cheese called Dragon's Breath Blue, and it's actually encased in a black wax casing, and it's a blue cheese that's from Nova Scotia.
Wow, that sounds fancy as heck.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't fully forgive, though, for... the cheese betrayal, I believe, though.
Oh, definitely not.
There's when we thought all the cheese betrayals came out, like, see, there's another one. There's going to be more and more.
Like, I appreciate you saying it now so I wouldn't have to find out about it later after I asked you to lay all the cheese betrayals on the line. Something Karen could learn from giving all the information when someone asks for it. But it definitely doesn't make up for the cheese betrayal.
Now I know what I'm getting you all for Christmas.
Is it just a giant poster that says cheese betrayal?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Betrayal at House on the Cheese.
Oh my God.
Okay. Betrayal at Cheese on the Hill.
Okay, we gotta talk to Avon Hill or whatever and like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I will do our next question. This one is from Cage. Our great friend Cage, Rage Cage X Rugger on Twitter. Also on Twitch, we love Cage. We love Cage, but Cage is clearly trying to break us up with this question, which is, who is your favorite Boneserker sibling?
Gosh. So I will note that in the Discord server where she asked this question, I put a fox head symbol, a snake symbol, a mermaid symbol, and what did I get here? And a demon symbol.
There, it was a wolf head, but yeah.
Were people voting? Because that...
They were, and they voted all evenly. Oh, nobody, no. Nobody wanted to choose because they didn't want the wrath of the Boneserkers. Oh, Brittany's tipping the scales.
Yeah, this is. I'm so excited for people's answers.
Maris says Karen.
Yes.
There aren't any winners here, but you know there are winners. So. Jess, you should go. We should do all the impartial votes first.
The non-Boneserkers. Oh my gosh, this is a really tough question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess maybe if I'm thinking who is my Jess's favorite and not who is Lariah's. Because I don't think you want to hear Lariah's answer.
Well, we know Uh-oh. It's none of them. So yeah, it's like or maybe like, Emery. Yeah.
I don't know. I need to think about it more. Can Kat go before me?
No, she can't. Yeah, I don't even. It's so hard to pick between like. Like everybody choose. Brought. Such a different vibe to the Boneserker, like the dysfunction level of the Boneserkers was incredible.
I have a favorite Boneserker sibling. I'm pretty solid in this one actually too. I obviously love playing Karen and I love Riot obviously, but Fatima is absolutely my favorite Boneserker sibling, and I think it's because of how like where Mallory took the character,
mm-hmm.
and like the whole like the like
creek
yeah creek
oh, the yeah. I was thinking like, about creek too.
It was so and it's tough because we had a lot like Davis in that last arc, there was like a lot of really good like really funny moments and things like, but like I still go back to Fatima and how funny. And just like taking such a dark thing, I don't know. I just feel like from the memories to like finding her again was just, I think like taking myself completely out of it, if I were to say like Brittany's favorite Boneserker would definitely be Fatima.
You know, I think I have to agree with that just from the like behind the scenes writing some of the notes for the characters. I feel like, I think everyone like took the character into their own like took it in their own directions, but I think Mallory like really, I don't know, she took it in a direction that I didn't expect, but it was really good. Yeah,
it's also tough to pass up on Davis's ability to improv all of the library God, book
the
names.
Library book names.
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, he. I feel like because I helped create them all, I cannot answer. but and also, yeah, Kat, like, let me help cast them as well. So it's like everyone created a beautiful, like, took our small notes and made an amazing character that fit within the dynamic that was more than I could ever have asked for. So like, they're all my favorites. So, Riot's is obviously probably Karen's. They love of
two
bones.
Official votes for Karen. Yeah.
So, but they're all my favorites, and I'm forever grateful. So
yeah, the combination of all four, it was so good. Like it was just so authentic, the sibling rivalry and affection. And obviously there was like favoritism too. I just loved it.
I do want to know, wait, were we all, no, Brittany, you've got siblings. Okay. I was trying to remember if We all had something in common. But I think it was like three of you used to all be in Boston.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Mallory and I were talking about, we were like going deep on New England talk for a while.
Davis is in Boston.
After recordings. Yeah, Davis is also in Boston. Yeah.
I used to live in Vermont and would always go through Boston Airport. Yeah. So we were like this basic one tie. No.
Yeah, we were. That was actually, that's true. That memory, the first time we all kind of recorded together, we kind of uncovered that and we hit it off really, really quickly and really, really easily. Yeah, I was going to mention, actually, I don't have sisters, but like getting into the sister thing was very easy with you, Jen, obviously. But it was just, I don't know, it just felt very natural. But I don't know what I was pulling from.
Same. I don't have sisters and I never lived with my brother. So,
yeah, I also never lived with my brother. So, like, that sibling stuff, I don't know. It was just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just kind of, yeah. Hopefully we didn't offend people with live-in siblings.
Yeah, they're like, that's not at all what it is. I feel like maybe we made like a lot of sister-sister jokes a lot. I maybe was pulling from the show Sister.
Yes,
Sister.
I'd say. I don't have a sister, but I do have a twin. No, okay. Well, thank you, Cage. Nice try.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Season 4 Q&A.
This actually brought us closer together.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Love it. This next question is a voicemail from Jane.
Hi, this is Jane from the UK. Question for the players. What was your inspiration for your characters and their backstories? And for Kat, what inspirations helped you create the world and NPCs? I also wanted to say thank you for the podcast. It's a really happy place for me. I love it so much. Thank you, guys. Bye.
My eyes aren't full of tears. It's
fine. I know, same here. I need a moment.
Yeah. Any kind of compassion currently, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, thank you, Jane. That was great. That was
thank you, Jane.
Very sweet voicemail.
Who wants to go first?
Like, go first. Rose can go. Rose can do it.
Rose first.
Rose came up with Maris once upon a time.
An alternate reality.
The alternate reality. Oh. So Rose is... I would say probably in terms of my inspiration, she is a hybrid of like from pop culture, Korra from The Legend of Korra and the Avatar verse. That was kind of the inspiration for the elemental monk aspects. She's also inspired by my own Chinese immigrant grandmother. And also a little bit of myself with the sewing and love of fabrics.
That's awesome. Riot, I think, I know I got the name, which is super helpful in what you asked, from my bookshelf. Because I was trying to come up with a good name. And I think I came up with Boneserker first, and then I was like, oh, this book, oh, the riot's on the cover, beautiful, got it, done. And also just, you know, being a child with the name Jennifer, I'm like, boy, if I could have any other name. Like, I remember asking people to call me Stormy for a couple years, and then Sharky, because I had a bite with a bat, like, just terrible. So, yeah. And I, as I mentioned earlier, I have like, a super older brother, so, like, I didn't grow up with siblings and we moved a lot, so there's a lot of Jen in this and like wanting to have, or like, you know, emulating the found families in life. Mm-hmm. But I am also realizing there was probably a lot of accidental influence or subconscious, like with Amethyst from Steven Universe. Mm-hmm. And there's one other I can't think of at the moment, but also just like I liked how tough Toph was in Avatar The Last Airbender. Oh, yeah. So like I was just kind of like, okay, like let's take that, but like, yeah, but also wanting to lean into that flaw of like being a monster in a dungeon, mm-hmm, who was supposed to kill people coming in, and growing up and realizing like that's not what I want to do. So yeah, kind of like a that. Yeah, just having fun with that.
A lot of the inspiration from Lariah came from, unfortunately my story isn't very interesting, randomly rolling on tables in Xanathar's guide. the like this is awesome. Your life section.
Oh, really?
Because of that.
A lot of it did because because I joined like later, I didn't want to make a character that was too similar to what people's characters already were. So I had a couple of ideas in mind, but I basically like, I think all I really chose was Genasi. Mm-hmm. And I got Druid from a while ago, around the time that I joined the D20 Dames. There was like a flowchart going around on Facebook that was like, what class should you play? And it was like, do you like this or this? Go this way. Do you like this or this? Go this way. And before D20 Dames, I think that I had only ever played bards because I love playing bards. And I did that flowchart and it was like, you should be a druid. And that is the reason I decided to be a druid from a flowchart on Facebook.
Know your meme. Yeah.
And then from there, like, as I was rolling stuff in Xanathar's, like, I did take some inspiration from my life. Like, some stuff just sort of, like, happened to line up really well. I am mixed, and I did want to play a character who's mixed. Like, that part was a given, and just, like, from that, I chose an Earth Genasi, because I'd never played one before, but there's also, like, half-orcs and half-elves, and I didn't really want to play a character that was labeled as half.
Mm-hmm.
And then like my dad is a retired cop and Lariah's dad is a retired city guard, just sort of like all of that. There are pieces that are sort of similar, but for the most part a lot of the inspiration came from Xanathar's, just rolling on random tables.
Wow, thank you.
I love how everybody just had different ways of approaching their character creation. For me, to answer the first part, the campaign where I get my ideas is, it's actually very, very collaborative. So it's based on a lot of conversations that I have with, the dames. And then we build from there. One example is, the House of She Who Shapes All. That was based on conversations I had with Jess, and what her sister and circle hero, where Lariah could have taken the dames when they got into trouble in season two, and we came up with this monastery together. And then I built out some NPCs based on that. And, you know, the NPCs, most of my NPCs are just pop culture because that's easy. Like early on, Meepo, definitely like a Joe Pesci sort of inspiration. Quat is ice bear inspiration. Was a little bit of Blade Runner thrown in there. There was a moment where Quat had a very serious conversation in the garden, and that was drawn as an homage to Blade Runner. Mm-hmm. Buzz is basically a female Ron Swanson. you know, Lita was actually a pre-made NPC from In Volo's Wake, so she inherently had a Scottish accent, and I hadn't really done one before, so I had to practice hers a lot. What else? Who else is there?
Bud.
Bud. Oh yeah, Bud was also from In Volo's Wake, and with him, I just thought, you know, what is a different approach to a treant, and what would a treant sound like? And I went with the southern drawl because I thought it was a little bit different, and it could differentiate Bud from other NPCs. And I don't really think you hear a lot of that accent in a fantasy setting. So that was my inspiration there.
Ooh, and our favorite posh child, Carp.
Yes.
That was just me, I think. I really wanted him to be a posh British accent child who is very into books, and I just thought that accent worked. I don't even think I tried other accents on Carp. I was just like, this sounds right, and that's what I went with.
Oh, so Carp's voice is your real voice, and this is an accent? Not hearing a no.
That's what a Canadian accent sounds like.
So there's another question from Feverwood on Discord. Who would win in a baking contest, and what would be the winning dish? So it kind of feels like, what would we all bake in a contest? And then I guess we could vote then.
Is this characters or ourselves? I think
it's characters, yeah.
Ah, poo.
Well, Dabber, obviously.
Yeah, like we all...
Rose won't win, because she'll probably trip on the way to putting it in the oven.
I'm trying to think about riots. It would just probably have too much of everything. Like, it'd be like, can't have enough spice, can't have enough cheese, can't have enough bread. And it just, like, keeps getting bigger and is not baked in the middle, probably.
That sounds right.
Rose would probably bake bao.
I think riots would be like a big pizza. Well, yeah, Totina's pizza roll, but bigger. So a savory hand pie.
Can I make a suggestion for Karen?
Yes, yeah.
I think it would be like a minced squirrel pie.
Ooh. Oh, that's true. Yeah. She's probably really good at making like squirrel things. Yeah, yeah. That's true. I think she'd be really proud of it. And bringing it to the judges' table, they'd be like, ooh, you know, what is this? And like, squirrel. Obviously, squirrel.
Yeah.
It's like with squirrel tails hanging off of her belt. Like, hey, I don't know what I need to ask. And there's like a bone shaped cut out of the top of the pie.
Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's right. Jess, do you think Lariah has any baking skills?
Yeah, I think probably because she and her and one of her dads both have just like a huge sweet tooth, she's definitely learned how to bake cake, just like really sweet desserts. And because she likes painting, can do like really elaborate cake decorating.
All right,
I love it.
Yeah.
All right.
I was gonna say, it's probably the sort of deal where like she can bake this one thing really well and that's it. It's like she's not very good at making anything else, but like she can make this one her like specialty cake or pie or whatever it is that like she will make like once a year for her family, and her dad devours it.
And the thing is, Lariah is probably the one that actually follows the instructions the best.
Lariah would win in a technical bake.
Yeah. Lariah definitely wins because you actually follow the instructions.
I definitely feel like I nailed the technical bake for sure.
Yeah. Honestly, full sweep. I think Star Baker easily.
Yeah. Riot probably actually knows one recipe per sibling that they like, honestly, and then that's it. So it'd be out by episode 4. or episode 3, like, oh, more seaweed, huh? Great.
And speaking of baking, Kelly in Discord asks, what is our favorite kind of bread? And we did answer it in the Discord, but we're also answering it again for you listeners.
And anything I can dip in olive oil.
Good answer.
Yeah. So your favorite type of bread is olive oil. Got it. That sounds I love it.
We just want to know what to bring you.
Yeah. I'm scared of answering because I might have a bread betrayal here or something.
My God, oh, cat.
What? Now what? Now tell me what else you've been holding out.
I like that Lariah's theme just continues in Jess's life. People holding back information.
Just come on.
No, it's, I don't think there actually isn't any bread that I could think of that would be odd.
Well, that's fine, but I obviously can't believe you now.
I feel like I'm on a sourdough kick right now.
Mine might be a tie. I've definitely been on a comfort food kick for a while now, understandably, I imagine, to many people. Mm-hmm. It's November when we're recording this. So Hush Puppies rate pretty high on my list.
Whoa. That just blew my mind as bread. Yes.
But also, I made focaccia for the first time a couple of months ago, and it was so good.
So good.
talk about olive oil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Bread. It's basically just
with
olive
the
oil.
Rosemary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also love all bread, including gluten-free free bread. I have two memories. One is there's a place here called The Watershed, and they have something, a Brazilian bread called, I'm going to say it wrong, but pão de, it's like pão de queso, but I'm not quite sure. That's not, I'm saying it right, but little tiny cheese balls, basically.
Oh,
and
yeah,
we,
they're so good.
Yeah, and
so good.
We all met there once, and Brittany, I think, had just gotten there 5 minutes early, but had such an air of confidence about this bread that every time I went back, I was like, oh, this is Brittany's favorite bread. Or just like, and then I brought it up once, and Brittany was like, what are you talking about? Where? I've never been there. And I was
I've never been there with you. I don't know what bread you're talking about. I probably just ordered it on a whim. Like, it was like something that, you know, caught my eye on the menu, and I only had it that one time. I'm not sure I even had it that time.
Yeah, I don't even know. Yeah, but I just remember, like, I always associated that bread with Brittany, and now out that I was, my own mind lied to me was fun. But cornbread. I always, like, in office situations when they're like, what kind of cake do you want? I'm always like, cornbread, baby. And most places don't believe me. So, but I would bring in my own and be like, please enjoy some of my ancestral cornbread with lots of corn and jalapenos. So,
yes, love cornbread.
Yeah. We had another question from the Discord that they had asked, but we would like to answer here. This one is from Fell Sorcerer. Why doesn't Lariah ever use capital C, cure wounds, or capital H, healing word? Is it a story consideration? To me, it seems a secondary feature of the druid class.
So, excellent question. And the reason Lariah doesn't heal anyone is shockingly not because she secretly is pleased at their suffering and feels like they deserve it, because that's not the case. It's just that I have never prepared any healing spells. I only prepare, like, I didn't mean to go into this game as a tank, but I sort of did. I'm damage at this point. I feel like I do a ton of damage, which is also not at all what I meant to do.
It's like, I know, I think the first time you cast Moonbeam, I'm like, oh yeah, just do this all the time.
I typically play support characters. Like, anytime I play a game where you have the option between, like, support damage and tank, I almost always choose support. And I even said before, like, I almost always play bards. So, like, I don't know why when I came into D20 Dames, I was like, healing spells, not for me. So I just
not for any of us apparently.
Yeah, that's, and it totally makes sense for a druid to be a support character, to like at least have some of those spells prepared at any time, because you can change what spells you have prepared. And I just like never really changed what spells I prepared. I always prepared the same ones, and it was never healing ones. So there's no reason. I don't have an answer for you. There's no reason for me not to have prepared any sort of healing spells.
That's really funny because When I was playing the Countess on Adventure They Wrote as a cleric, I usually play more tanky characters, and I was like, I'm gonna chill out and be a cleric and be support, and she wound up being the opposite anyway. She's like doing like critical damage on every melting people, like. And it's just like, oops. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think you lean like. After getting the feel for your character, you probably just lean into what feels right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think after that first Welcome to the Fight, I just became damage without meaning to.
It's great. Thank you, Fell Sorcerer, for that. Thanks for trying to call it out.
I could have been so much more helpful all this time.
No. Perfectly helpful.
All right, our next question is a voicemail from Eddie.
Hi, this is Eddie Bellick from Pennsylvania. Here's my question for the D20 Dames. What is your favorite campaign you have ran and or played? Thank you. Bye.
Aww. I think my all-time favorite is probably also influenced by the fact that it was one of my first full campaigns that I played. It was Dark Sun in 4th edition D&D. And I think the reason I loved that campaign so much was, as an archaeologist, a setting where there wasn't a lot of metal. Everybody was using like bone and stone tools and weapons and things that I could just, as a kind of like archaeology anthropologist, wrap my head around, like building my character in this world, was a lot of fun and really exciting. And it was also it's also one of the only campaigns I've actually ever finished. So that might also be why it's at the top of my list of like, yeah, hey, we had an ending.
I have a similar answer. My favorite as a player was a home game, a Curse of Strahd game. I really enjoyed being able to, you know, spend 2 years going through this campaign with this character and the adventuring party. And I played basically a Witcher type character. So a ranger, monster hunter. And she was awesome. Yeah, being able to finish the character and do an epilogue and, you know, have some sort of finality to what happens to your character was really great. And I liked it so much that I'm actually running, I've decided to run a home game of Curse of Strahd now with the revamped edition.
Sweet.
Cool. I think my favorite game I've ever been in is this one. sorry. I think I've only ever gotten to like level 11 or 13 ever in D&D, so never. As far as running one, I really enjoyed the Tales from the Loop game that I ran last year. Mm-hmm. And Brittany was a part of that. It was only 4 sessions, but it was part of the big dungeon show, and I made crafting part of the puzzling at one point. So there was like a mad crafter, and so they had to make like put fabric paint on like little pencil bags and stuff to get out of situations. Like
that's so good.
But I just liked the way everyone made their characters and that sort of landscape they created, which I don't think that television show did a good job of necessarily, but it's also based just on the art, not the game. So it's a honestly toss up between that and like a winter adventure I made that I ran for my mom, I guess, or maybe it's just first time players of any RPG and them realizing what they can do and how it's collaborative. Like when that spark like ignites behind their eyes, like when we do the, like, you know, you plant the seed with them or they plant a seed and then you like reveal it a couple hours later. Like I think that's the best part of any campaign.
I think my favorite campaign that I've run was it was a one shot. It was an adventure that I wrote. The first adventure I wrote, I think, actually, that I used to use when in the before times when we would go to conventions. If I was DMing at a convention, this was like my default one to run. And I think it was one of the first times I ran it. And it's also where part of the inspiration for the name, the Guild of Good Fortune, because I just had good fortune on the brain, because it was about a town that people referred to as like the town of good fortune, because it was filled to the brim with cats. And everyone in this town agreed that, like, even though the town had been suffering for generations, as soon as these cats started to move in, just like something happened, a switch was flipped, and they started to prosper in ways that they hadn't for generations in this town. So they, you know, they loved the cats, and they like changed a bunch of the buildings so that like every building had catwalks inside for the cats to chill in. And they renamed themselves the Town of Good Fortune because of these cats who brought them so much good fortune.
Nice.
I should run that adventure for all of you sometime.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
I'm gonna play a dog character.
My the campaign that I have the most fond memories of, and played the longest other than Dames, not that I'm technically playing, is my first ever D&D campaign. I had just moved to Seattle and didn't know anyone yet, but my some of my friends from back home had also just moved around here, and we decided to like spin up a remote D&D game with some other people across the country. My friends Bill and Sue, and Bill was the DM and just was so good. And I spent a lot of time like crafting my character. I played a druid who also ended up being a tank, basically. And she was like an angsty teen. It was just really fun, and it was everything I thought D&D was supposed to be. I just hadn't ever really got a chance to play. And I got to meet some really amazing internet people that like are still like I would consider friends of mine. It was just really fun. And my favorite thing we'd ever done was towards the end of our campaign, kind of meeting regularly. Bill had just played the Sherlock Holmes like board game, where you're kind of like solving Sherlock Holmes puzzles, and so he wrote a basically like Sherlock Holmes-esque like mystery, and it took several sessions for us to like gather all the clues and meet all the people in this house, and it was so cool. I was like, you can do this? What? You can do this with D&D? You can do this with tabletop? Like, this is wild. It was so much fun, and I think back on that a lot. And the adventure you wrote that we did at Crumwork Cat reminded me a lot of that, and it took me back to that. It was just like so many good memories. So the first one, you never forget that first one, I guess.
All right, and we've got another voicemail from Curly.
Hi, my name is Curly, and I would like to ask the Danes, what do you like the most about Cat as a dungeon master? Thank you.
So no pressure, but what do we like most about Cat?
Oh my god. Oh,
it's so...
Take some notes here.
That's a great question, though.
Yeah, this is cool. Cat can't hurt us anymore in this campaign, can she?
I don't mind starting, actually. I think my favorite thing about, like, everything to do with playing with the Dames has been how collaborative everything is. Kat as a DM has been very collaborative since the beginning. She's mentioned it in this Q&A and I think in previous ones that like a lot of the story that happens and like the world is through collaboration, where we talk through like our characters' backstories and stuff, and that helps Kat like make some pieces of the world and some parts of the adventures, and that has been so much fun. It's something that I think is difficult to do in like a one shot, and you can do in like a pre-built campaign, but it can be difficult to try to like pull those pieces in when you're trying to do like a very clearly laid out thing. And Kat, I think, has just done an amazing job of just like including people in the story as it's going. Like I always feel like, oh, this is another cool thing that like Kat and I talked about that one time, and it's very, very cool to have that happen.
Yeah, I think it's like I really appreciate the questions that Kat asks us in between episodes about like what does Rose think about this, and what might Rose want to be doing ahead, you know, thinking ahead to the next few things. And like sometimes this, you know, because there's multiple of us and multiple characters, like sometimes something Rose thinks she might want to do is not something that ever happens, and that's totally also okay. But I like having that in the back of my head of like, okay, Rose wanted to go do this, but actually what Riot is pitching here is much more important, and Rose is totally going to get behind that. Mm-hmm. And so I really like all of the questions that you are asking us to really kind of get into the heads of our characters.
I'm also going to agree. I think it's we should just each name something we really like. I mean, they're all my favorite too. I think Kat's NPCs though, as much as I try to make Kat laugh, which always feels good when I get to or surprise her, like I'm just thinking back about Talesh that we met in the water in Waterdeep, and just how like we're so used to people just falling in love with us as the dames and just didn't give a hoot, and it was so good versus like Torin over at Weepon's Weapons and like just like this big buff dragonborn hitting on Rose, who was just like blushing right and left and just like dropping, like it was a lot of the, you know, beautiful NPC setups and then just going for it with the players that I think everyone here is very generous with their storytelling and world building together, but like it's I love that those characters were made and then sorry, I'm super just still I gotta go listen to that episode with Torin and Rose again.
I mean there were so many in that Waterdeep kind of segment. The like very suspicious wizard that would not let me into
the. Oh my god! And the black
like,
staff.
Oh my god!
What a jerk! Yeah. Like I love all of our guests too, but like I was like, Kat can do all of them. Like, you know, like yeah. Well, Brittany, it's your turn. We left nothing for you. No, I'm teasing.
No, well, I was thinking more tactically. I'm glad you guys talked more about like the creative stuff because Kat, you're incredible. And also, if you want to hear more about Kat, you can just listen to my Dragon Talk interview where I talk about Kat for a solid 30 minutes and how much I love Kat. But I don't know, maybe I probably did mention this, but I do love how prepared you always are, Kat, and maybe you're faking it. I don't know. But I know like behind the scenes, you know, we have lots of side conversations and scheming that happens in like our DMs, but like you are always thinking about the story and what our next recording is going to be and how it's going to wrap up and what we're going to do. And it's just like, it takes a lot to do that. And you're always just so prepared. And I think that this podcast would not be anything where, you know, anything that it is now if you hadn't just cared so much about always being prepared and having just everything set for us. And it's just as the person who also edits the podcast, it is very, very helpful how thoughtful and considerate you are when it comes to stuff like that, which is like, again, more tactical. It doesn't necessarily, like, I'm sure we could think of lots of cool storylines and have a lot of fun even if we were a little bit less prepared, but because you kind of set us up to be so prepared, it makes things so much better. And I think we have like a really solid show because of that.
Thanks, everyone. Yeah. Thank you. Great question,
and thanks,
Curly.
Thanks to Curly.
Well, this really actually ties into the next question and our final question. It's from Feverwood on Discord, and it is, what will you miss most when you leave this campaign? And I would like to say this. I would like to start here. I'm going to miss like the long-term collaboration on this campaign. Like the world, we started in this world that was pre-built with Phandalin and that familiar setting and Sildar Hallwinter. But I think what we built together with the various NPCs and various locations, I know this is going to sound cheesy, but I feel really blessed to have, you know, had all of you to collaborate with and come up with these beautiful storylines and beautiful NPCs and sometimes frustrating NPCs. I know we're going to have other opportunities, but this was just such a great long-term campaign to step into and just have your trust in my ability to translate some of your notes into a broader world. I'm gonna miss that a lot.
Cool. Well, since we clearly have a full year, we have a whole nother season, so I will just have to guess what I will miss most. But before I started playing with D20 Dames, I played with mostly men. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, fine. But and Kat, I mean, Kat, you were there too, but I mean, it was mostly predominantly men. And I feel like I've just become a better person because I'm surrounded by amazing people and amazing players with different play styles, which and just doing things like wanting other people to speak first or like waiting to see what they do and not just rushing in all the time and like fighting to make a decision. I think I'm going to miss the characters, but also the way that we played them together. Even, you know, when it, for a little bit, you know, when it's, it's just Lariah and Riot and an NPC, you know, so it's like we kind of have to like go back and forth and like shove responsibility or you know, decision making. I'm looking forward to, I guess continuing, but on, you know, a different campaign, you know, whatever we end up doing. Missing you all, and that regular, like, calendar, you know, date, a lot. So, all right, someone else go for Sir Grant.
I can go. Mine's pretty straightforward. I don't know what we're gonna do for after season four, exactly. Like we're still figuring that out. But I think it's probably unlikely that I'll take the exact same role that I did this time around, where I get to be get to be in Kat's, you know, master plans and get to play off of characters, you know, conceived from, you know, whether it be like Rose's sister or Riot's sister or you know, an NPC that already existed in the world that I just run away with. You know, it's just been a really unique situation, and maybe I continue doing that every now and then, but I don't think it'll be exactly what we had here, which was kind of an experiment that was ended up being really cool. And I couldn't have asked for anything more than that. I'm going to miss that the most. I'm going to miss like getting messages from Kat that's like, all right, here's a couple things. And here's what you know. Like, cool, I know this. This is awesome. And then
join us in the realm of the unknown.
Yeah. I don't know that I want to go to that place. It seems scary. And you have to make real plans. I don't like that.
So Brittany, you're gonna miss cheating? Is that
cheating.
What I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna miss having like a really unfair advantage as we play through the campaign. Beloved NPC that everyone invests in, you know, that's probably the things I'll miss most.
It's true. It's like, oh, Sildar needs to level up. Yeah, you're right. He does. So let's do that right now.
That actually happened because Sildar, he's been with the campaign for so long that I think it was one of our Emerald Forest adventures. He would have just died.
Died. Yeah, yeah.
So we had. I had to make an upgraded Sildar.
Yeah, he's very squishy. He is only a level 4.
Oh yeah, he was much. Yeah, more effective.
I don't really have anything new to add. Same. I'm gonna miss playing these characters with all of you. I like what we've built so far has been so much fun, and like you all have said, like I know we're gonna keep playing stuff together, but it's going to be tough letting go of just all of the incredible stuff that we've done so far.
Yeah, and like trying to imagine kind of my immediate future with a new child and even newer role at work. Like I think it's pretty safe to say I'm probably not going to be joining for the next campaign, but I hope that I can kind of maybe take on a like occasional Brittany NPC knows secret things and pops in to surprise everybody.
Good idea. Yes.
So like I definitely am going to miss I have missed regularly playing with all of you. Like it's been very fun to have the little Rose interludes, but I definitely miss playing with the larger group.
You better come back. I mean,
oh yeah.
she threatened.
Just yeah, we'll just do and we also just do more things with cheese.
Yeah.
Just actual gatherings with cheese.
Cheese RPG. The
Zoom call. Yeah.
RPGs.
There it is. I knew it. I knew there was a better joke.
Yeah.
All right, you've got two stats. You're a cheesemonger, and how many mouths do you have? Like,
how many mouths do you
have? I didn't say it was gonna be, it's definitely a horror RPG.
Like those monsters, I mean, at the end of season 3, actually. Yeah.
There's probably something to, like, picking a type of cheese, and, like, different types of cheese have different, like, armor class.
Yep.
Because, like, you know, some have hard rinds, others are squishy. Ooh. But, like, Brie can probably handle some things that Parmesan can't.
Yeah, like suspended fruits and cheese or spells versus other. Yeah, yeah, like I'm all about it. We got to cut this out. This is clearly our money making.
Yep, yep, yep. I'll cut all this so we can profit off of it later.
Yep,
for
RP
sure,
cheese.
For sure.
RP cheese.
RP cheese.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, we know what we're working on next. During our season 3 to season 4 break, we will be writing this. You're wondering what we're up to. Uh-huh.
And we obviously have to sample all the cheese to determine
that's
what
right. How would we know?
Yeah,
and right. Character backgrounds.
That's right. Oh my God, it's going to be a lot of research.
Friends.
I could
did you say research?
Yeah, research.
Research.
I'm serious though. The way you lay out the cheese board, that is the map. The way you eat it, that okay. Yeah,
I'm not going to cut this out so that we have motivation to make this before anyone else does.
Yeah.
No, I'm keeping this in. We need that. We need that push.
Thanks so much for joining us for this Q&A episode. And thank you everyone who sent in questions. We obviously had a ton of fun answering them, except for the ones that made us fight.
Cage. And cry.
I'll never forgive Kat for as long as I live, which is fine. Thank you so much. If you want to see more of our fun answers to questions, if you want to have a chance to ask us more questions more often, please do check out our Patreon. That's how people were able to ask us so many questions on Discord. You can get to us much sooner than at the end of every season. You can find all of our information on d20dames.com, and misadventure awaits.
D20 Dames is a production of Misadventure Awaits. Music by Middle Essence. Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/d20dames. What's a Patreon? What's a Middle Essence? What's a production?